The last song that I'm going to play is a beautiful remix by Marvin Gaye.
Is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Y'all ready to settle down and get with this? You know, settling to this feeling. Because you know it's a lot of love here. Love.
Give a love, y'all. Give a love, Jill. God.
I got it right about it.
What's up, everybody? I'm glad to see you all here tonight.
It's nice to get this love I needed.
I love to write poetry. I love to sing. I love to write poetry. I love to read my poetry. But basically what I live for is
inspiration.
Comes from listening to hip-hop. Comes from R&B. Comes from listening to jazz. Be here, so let me do my thing.
DJ Faye.
When do you come through to me? Be ready.
Second day of July 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, aka Black Krishna. And this is DJ Faze's Jill Scott John, Volume 1, a classic mixtape, album rap stream. Album rap means that they glue the tracks together. And so it's just one seamless thing, and you don't have those breaks in your iPod or whatever. Between tracks, listening to it, it's a seamless mix of Ms. Jill Scott. And just met the absolutely lovely woman who was here hosting before me. Her name escaped my mind. I just met her. We both talked about how Jill Scott was just coming so hard with the love that you kind of had to love her back because she just wasn't backing down. She was not backing down. I saw her years ago at the Molson Amphitheater for free. It was Jill Scott, along with Mos Def, another talented, I guess, conscious hip hop artist, and she was great, and I co-signed that sentiment that she's just putting herself out there, and not doing it in an aggressive screw you way, but doing an aggressive we're cool way, and the world needs more love, and I'm not sure it's my responsibility to provide that. But these days, and I'm on ByronCrawford.com here, and I'd just like to point out an article from Byron Crawford, a.k.a. Bowl, one of my favorite hip-hop bloggers. some guy actually gave a ish that Talib Kweli did a song with Gucci Mane, is the title of this And basically, in a nutshell, Talib Kweli is a conscious artist in the mode of Jill Scott, who you're hearing now, in the mode of not Public Enemy militant, but although he can go there sometimes, but, you know, speaking for the community, speaking truth to power, and so on. And he did a rap song with this guy, Gucci Mane. You know, and the Gucci's from the clothing line, I assume. Who's a very, very simple kind of... I listened to one of his albums just to figure out what was, you know, up with this guy. And he can make really catchy nonsense, really catchy, simple nonsense. You know, just, I'm drinking lemonade, everybody say hey, and that type of stuff or whatever. And, you know, with the odd bit of wisdom in there as a grown-ass man. But yeah, whatever. So this conscious artist, conscious rapper, Talib Kweli, did a song with this unconscious rapper, Gucci Mane. This guy here, Michael Smith, wrote an article, Talib Kweli and the Demise of the Conscious Rapper. It's more important to adopt the look of rebellion without the accompanying mentality. Now, why do I bring this up? What is the deal? Why am I, you know, dragging my own, you know, personal hip-hop taste, you know, onto my news radio show for the first time ever? Pause for dramatic effect. Of course that's crap. I do this all the time, but I do try and make sure that these are ideas that can be recognized in other parts of culture. And so we can see, you know, Nike's got fake rebellions going. Dockers, the Gapper, no, Dockers, they got their second dawn of the new man, buy a pair of khakis and be a man, fake rebellion and revolution going. And there's tons and tons and tons of that out there. And I'm not even calling out Talib Kweli. I don't, I've read the article, and I read Talib Kweli's response to the article. And the article basically says, and I'll get into a couple of specifics because it's fairly well written. But the article basically says that, you know, no artist wants to be boxed in. They don't want to feel the pressure from their fans to constantly produce the same type of material. They desire the freedom to experiment, step outside of their comfort zone, and challenge themselves and their audience to look at the art and themselves differently. I respect this outlook. I really do. But then Talib Kweli does a song with Gucci Mane, I'm forced to really reevaluate everything I'm forced to believe. So I'm going to skip ahead to some of the generalities. Here we go. This is the key. This is the key. And as someone who makes music and who has the opportunity to bounce it off lots of people, I can say for sure that this is a factor. Because even regardless of the music itself, the conceptualization of music, discussing the type of music you want to make, you know, is something that that you can get people's reactions to. So it says here, as part of this article by Michael Smith, anytime you label an artist as socially conscious, you limit the audience they reach. The preconceived notion being that all they want to talk about is how messed up the world is to make you feel bad about having a good time. They're the Debbie Downers of the worst kind. So why would you want to spend your money on that? In response, the artists who get tagged, if they wish to reach new audiences, in brackets, and new money, have to go out of their way to show just how unconscious, ignorant, balanced, human, or whatever other term they can think of, so as not to alienate anyone. The more they reach out, the more unrecognizable they become to their old fans, until even the conscious rap is gone too. The stuff Common Sense and Talib Kweli and Mos Def were rhyming about, what was socially conscious and responsible music, has been replaced by hipster kids in skinny jeans and mohawks. 50 Cent had to point it out. So 50 Cent said, even the conscious rap is gone too. The stuff Common Sense, Talib Kweli, and Mos Def were rhyming about, what was socially conscious and responsible, but the music has been replaced by hipster kids in skinny jeans and mohawks. And that was 50 Cent. And the article goes on to adopt a look of rebellion without appropriating the accompanying mentality. And Common rapped on a Lady Gaga Lady Gaga's Poker Face remix. They say you be on the conscious tip. Get your head right and get up on this conscious. And he referred to his phallus there. What does this all mean? What does this have to do with the New World Order conspiracy and the fact that people wanna rob us and then kill us? You know, probably in the fall, actually. That seems to be when the big economic collapse is going to happen, sometime around September, October. Right before the November elections, or maybe just after that. Who knows? But the point is that the pressure that we put on each other to not be interesting, intelligent, complicated, you know, what else? Nice, you know. I mean, I'm checking the cans. The washrooms here. I have to use the washroom here at Ryerson University here in Toronto, Canada. And so I'm in a building across the street from the Tim Hortons, just near this university. And I go to use a couple of washrooms there. And I see other places. There's a bunch of toilets in the men's washrooms that aren't flushed. Yo. Yo. I mean, come on. You know, we can't. Look, the less you respect other people, the less you respect yourself. Keep that in mind. Now, you might not agree, but if you don't, well, you're a little far gone. Try and stay with me here. Because, all right, check this out. The people that move the best in the world are the people that are confident in themselves and can be confident in what they have to offer others. And then they can be nice. And then they can be respectful of other people and their environments and where they live, feeling that they're a part of that, feeling that they can influence that, feeling that they can be, you know, a positive part of that, you know. And the people that are insecure and lash out are the ones that, you know, do destructive things and need to get their power that way. There's only two kinds of power in the world, you know, really, principally. There's how much power you have over other people, and there's how much power people have over you. And that is as individuals or institutions. So you as an individual may have some power over your family, your friends, your community. Your voice, if you express it, may have the power to reach other people, and so on. And in that same construct, there are institutions that have the power over you. The government's got, you know, they could charge you 5 cents a nickel last summer, and now they can stick you with eco fees and HSTs, you know, which are really fiscal STDs, as they destroy our financial health and welfare, and chip away at what we have. While at the same time, we, getting back to the music tip for a second, seek to be entertained more and to play more and to pressure our artists to do that more. And then, you know, you try and play some Bob Marley and people look at you like, ah, dude, what are you doing? You're so cliche. I don't want to have to take anything seriously, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's absolutely amazing, you know, where we are in history right now, where we need inspiration more than ever. And we can find entertaining inspiration. We can. It's out there. It's been made for decades. If there's a dearth of it now, which there really isn't, you just got to go look for it because there's more music being made than ever. So you can find incredible inspiration all over the place. You know, as long as it's funky anyway. And so, when we need inspiration more than ever, where do we go? We go to the internet. And because you know, the radio ain't going to give us much. And everyone will say, that's the thing, here, especially here in Communist Canada, everyone will try and be really polite, you know, even on this show. And, like I said on yesterday's show, I just can't, you know. Being polite allows you to get away with a lot of things. And so sociopaths and psychopaths are polite. Politicians are polite. You know, my man tells me a politician came to visit. His wife got some award for early childhood education thing. A local MP came over. Everybody was there. He was there. It was a nice little dinner thing. And among other awards were being given out. And so he shows up. And homeboy says to me, this guy didn't say anything. Anything. He was just really polite, really nice. He listened carefully like he cared, but he ain't going to go back and do nothing. And if all you do is listen like you really care, and you don't ask any questions, you probably don't really care. You know, I've interviewed people, and if I listen to you like I really care, and then I cut the interview short, I don't really care. But if I listen to you like I really care, then I'm going to be interested in hearing more about where, you know, where you're coming from. And so, you know, there's this technique out there. But I will tell you, someone here who does move fairly aggressively at times, that the only way you're going to be successful with a message that says you care, that says you care about other people, that's why you're doing this. You're not getting into fights about, you know, what the New World Order is, or, you know, whether 9/11 is an inside job or not, or how the world is really run, or about the fiat, you know, banking system and our control, you know, Canada's control by offshore banks and corporations. You're not getting in our health risks, you know, to aspartame, fluoride, vaccines, you know, the holy or unholy trifecta among many others out there. You're not getting into this game just to scrap with people because you learn more about something. If you are going to move in this culture, like, you know what you're talking about. Like, you say you know what you're talking about, and like it's important for other people to listen to you, then it's best to be polite. It's best to be nice. It's best to be respectful of different people. It's best to have them understand that, you know, this information stream, you know, where we discuss the New World Order on this show, the forces behind globalization, centralizing of power globally through international institutions to control countries worldwide and the people and everything in them. you know, the super rich, crazy, evil people. They're currently just starting Bohemian Grove soon, a big retreat of, you know, sort of satanic debauchery. And they're selling us here that being a badass is being a prick, and putting yourself in a isolated and compromised position, you know, where it's you and a bunch of pricks hanging, and none of you trust each other, and you know, you might, you know, rip each other off at any given point. And so, what is rebellion today? What is rebellion today? When major corporations and when our culture, when even our government is promoting sex ed to small children, you know, what is rebellion today? Is rebellion being a badass and, you know, not moving out of the way on a sidewalk when a smaller or older, you know, or female, if you're a male, person is approaching you? You know, not just incrementally moving a little bit out of the way, just giving them some advance notice to let them know that, you know, you're not a problem, you know, because they know you could be. Now, I could be a problem. I ain't even that big, you know. I'm 5'10", a buck 65 in the summer, buck 75 in the winter. It is what it is. and I could be a problem. And if it's late at night, just walking this morning, I'm walking up from Dufferin and Dundas, and I'm walking on the north side of the street along Dundas to get to Young and Dundas, and eventually Church and Gould's here at the studio after stopping off for an extra large half coffee, half hot chocolate, two sugars and two milks, you know, from Tim Hortons. And for some crazy reason, there's an absolutely beautiful, taller than me, I think, with the heels anyway, absolutely beautiful, tall white girl coming towards me. And I'm like, wow. But, you know, what am I supposed to do in that situation? I ain't going to see a tall, beautiful white girl for you know, a few hours. You know, until, you know, the day really starts. And then I see tons of them, which is awesome, among other beautiful women in the city. But what am I supposed to do? You know? So, you know, I gave her a little nod in advance because she noticed me. And, you know, it's, you know, whatever, 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. And you know, I'm a brown dude and with a goatee who, in certain angles, looks tough. And so I gave her a little nod and I got the nod back and then I just didn't look at her. And I, you know, I tried to move out of the way a little bit to the right as she was walking and she was looking at me and I could have looked back at her and in many cases I will. But at 5:15, 5:30 in the morning, where, you know, the wrong interpretation of even the right look could, you know, scare this chick again. Or if I got something on my face anyway from whatever the hell it is I'm thinking about, and then I happen to look over at her with it, she might think it's about her. So, as she's walking towards me, and I'm, she's about 30 feet away, 20 feet away, whatever, I gave her a little nod. And then I continued and she continued. And if she wants to look at me, fine. I'm a dude. What do I care? You know? I mean, it's not a threat to me. You know, but I do know from another instance in the annex, which was noticed just a little bit away, a little bit east of Austington, west of Christie. There's a little field there, a little Christie Pitts Park there. I'm on the south side and I'm walking and there's a cute little white girl in front of me. Cute little redhead white girl wearing a white top. And there's a bunch of cars around, too, kind of noticing this. And this girl's kind of, she's in front of me, and I'm not sure what the hell she's doing. She's thinking she might cross the street. She's thinking she might keep walking straight. She's not sure what she's doing, but she knows I'm behind her. And her pace started stutter-stepping a little bit. And I'm trying to be, you know, whatever. There isn't, you know, I'm trying to walk around her. There isn't that much room there. But, you know, you could just see that. You could feel that. And I saw a bunch of cars to the left parked because the light was red right there just past Shaw Street. Well, not just past Shaw Street. The light, the first light east of Shaw Street, you know, between Austington and Christie on Bloor Street on the way to the annex as I was heading east from Austington-ish. And I saw a bunch of them noticing because people look at me these days because, like, 80% of people downtown kind of know sort of what I'm on about, and in some way, which is great news. Like, I love the fact that we're in phenomenal shape in this city to kick the New World Order's ass, and like anybody else, you know, who's impatient about this sort of thing, I'm impatient about this sort of thing. But nonetheless, they noticed, you know, her, you know, little bit of uncomfort with me, you know, walking up from behind her and trying to pass her. And so, you know, I did my best to get out of her way and kind of shrink my body language a bit and then get on with my business of walking around like a badass. But, you know, not while I'm, you know, in some sort of nonverbal communication on issues of personal space with a lovely young lady who I'll never see again, maybe not, whatever, you know, wouldn't know it if I did. But I'm just saying that you can get more strength. And I said, you know, earlier, there's only two kinds of power. How much power you have over people and how much power they have over you. Now, you can use that power destructively, like the New World Order does, you know, satanic pedophile cults abusing children, sacrificing at least a statue of a child at the cremation of care in the Alex Jones movie Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. Because he snuck in 2000 and filmed one of their rituals. And there's been much more evidence coming out. And there's stuff going back to the 70s on this. Nixon got caught saying, this is the most goddamn faggy thing I've ever been to. And there's nothing against gay people. And I'm not even speaking me. I'm just quoting Richard Nixon. But it just shows how, you know, a lot of these Republican leaders who pretend to be good Christians are in fact lying. And are in fact engaging in that type of lifestyle. Not even because they're trying to be healthy about it, but because they see it as decadent, and the stuff they do down at Bohemian Grove in San Francisco, California, for, you know, a couple of weeks around this time, is supposedly pretty foul. And there are people that work there. There's service staff that service these people and bring them booze and lobster and shrimp that have come out and said, yeah, they're nuts. You know, here's a copy of the, you know, some of their papers, you know, revealing who attended and so on. So tons and tons and tons of leaks. And there's prostitutes brought in there as well. And many of these people, you know, aren't even in it for the beauty because they can have anything they want. They're wealthy, they're powerful, they're connected. They're in it for the dehumanization. They're in it to dehumanize people. You know, they're in it to take a girl, you know, call her pretty and then treat her horrible. And in the ABC News episode with an interview with porn star Belladonna, there's a really scary, crazy scene. Because this beautiful young lady, young girl, who's getting into porn, you know, still fairly early in her career, and a totally different person in the interview with Diane Sawyer than she is in the clips they showed of her sort of, you know, in her porn sona. she's flown to the Czech Republic for a porno movie. And she's famous as a girl who, you know, trying to be a badass girl, who, you know, will do anything in terms of having foul stuff done to her. That's apparently badass. Like, I'm so badass, you know, you can pour ketchup in my ear. It's like, what? You know, I'm trying to be facetious here, but the point is that she goes to the Czech Republic, she goes to Prague, and there's a scene where she meets her porn star dude. And he's a big, you know, good-looking, you know, Euro stud. And she just falls in love instantly. And he says to her when he sees her, you're going to be my wife. You're going to be the mother of my children. And this, you know, lovely young girl who, let me tell you something. Even if you're in porn and you fancy yourself, if you're in porn, if you are someone who thinks they're a badass for doing evil, stupid stuff to other people or having evil, stupid stuff done to you and thinking, yeah, you're an evil badass. If someone says they love you, they will knock you off your socks. Because ultimately that's what you are looking for by doing all that stupid stuff. So this girl's got all these crazy thoughts on her mind about, you know, yeah, it's a porn scene, and I'm sure we're going to have some, you know, rough and kinky sex, but, and this is ABC News. This is the old Diane Sawyer special on this thing from, I guess, just a few years ago. But actually, not the 90s. What am I thinking? Probably about 2005, 2006. And I'll post the links to this on my on my blog later and in the radioforallandarchive.org things. And I actually post this video on the show about porn on Monday. But then after this guy gains her confidence and trust and kind of gets her in the mood, he's absolutely vicious with her in the porn scene, as shown on ABC News. You know, and they showed parts of it, and it's just a brutal sociopathic thing to do. But that's what these guys are into. And these guys are into, the guys at the top, I mean, the New World Order types, the very top, the satanic elite, who have been compromised into being into this by the people above them because it makes them easier to control. Both because they're compromised and that can be exposed, and also because it destroys their character and they become weak toadies. And strong people have strong moral and good character. Weak people don't. And so these guys will take a kid and they'll, you know, sweet talk a kid, gain their trust, give them some candy, and then do horrible things to them. And that's the world the New World Order is trying to create. As above our heads, so below them. And that's what's happening. And these guys are trying to manifest hell on earth. So I started off the show today with an article about conscious music. And Taleb Kweli has a response to that, by the way. Go to theloop21.com, theloop21.com. Here Tlaib's response, which is a very intelligent response. He's a very intelligent man. He talked about how if 99% of the time he do conscious stuff in the community, stuff for the kids, stuff for the hood, you know, youth center shows and so on. Just because he does a song with Gucci Mane doesn't mean, you know, that erases all that, and so on and so forth. And I feel the same way about my ish. But at the same time, we have to be careful with what we co-sign here in the 21st century, because we may see more of it, and if it's not good, we may be concerned. I'm going to take this from the personal to the economic side of things with Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show. This is discussing the casino gulag pit boss. Basically, the Obama deception, which I strongly recommend you share now. It's going viral. It went viral last year. It goes viral every time we do this, because after 2 years of corporate love, we all know Obama, and some of us got to be curious about, you know, what the hell all that was about now that it hasn't panned out for anybody but Wall Street. So a couple of clips here with Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show from the 19th of July, because Kaiser's great, and Jones is really on the show. So just like me, certain shows I'd be really on, you know, and so on. So, like, you know, you gotta catch them when they're hot and try and share that. The casino gulag pit boss. This is how the internet works. This is how the internet works now, and this is how the internet is going to work in the future with more restrictions on it. And then he talks about how Wall Street bankers are supposed to shear the sheep and not slaughter them, but in their excesses and their greed, they may have accidentally slaughtered the system and be in the process of slaughtering us and be unable to make money off us anymore. Essentially, there's a fight going on right now between the millionaires and the billionaires, because the millionaires are screwed by this recession. And if the millionaires are screwed by this recession, what does that mean for us? So, yeah, Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show talking about the InfoWar.
I believe they're about to start purging it. So, folks, you better spread the word about the Obama deception now. Kenneth, stay there. Kaiser, your take on this. You're trying to say something.
Well, if everybody who has a blog embed in the header of their blog, Obama equals deception, you know, then you're fighting the info wars. You don't even have to link to the film, or you can just have that link in the heading of your blog, so that the search engines will equate Obama with deception. Remember, Obama won because if you did a search in 2008 for the word hope, you would get results Obama, Barack Obama. And that's why he's the president of the United States. He essentially commandeered the word hope. Okay, now you've equated Obama with deception. Let's keep pushing that theme. If you keep pushing that theme and you institute a major political overturn in the next 6 or 7 months, you will have accomplished a major battle in the InfoWars.
And I guess they're propagandists, and they recognize this. I mean, Max, I'm just a regular guy who just swings with the truth, and I guess it trumps them over and over again. But the more I think about it, it was the top link, Obama deception. They don't like that. This is important. They wouldn't have censored this and revealed themselves unless they knew it was important.
But what is it? Washington Post just released today in Top Secret America. There's 800,000 people in a fourth branch of government in the United States who are fighting the info wars, who have allegiances with the information technology firms in America, including Google. And this is now out in the Washington Post. The war is on. The battle lines have been drawn. The tyranny is here.
Well, I agree. We've seen massive increases. 73,000 blogs taken down last week. No court order, no nothing. Justice Department just ordered it, saying they didn't like their speech because they were talking about sharing files and talking about stuff online. Now your speech is illegal. We're seeing other sites being hacked. They've tried to take down the Alex Jones channel with hacks last week. And Dave, who runs it, hadn't even told me that. When I called him Saturday, he said, yeah, they're trying it here too. So it looks like the green light was given in the last week or two, Max, to launch a major cyber attack against us and everybody else for that matter.
Well, the computers are programmed, and your film hit a traffic anomaly. It started to go in the direction that the computers couldn't figure out why, because it didn't fit into any of their template logic. And so they shut down or dismantled or hacked or took it offline. And this is what they're programmed to do.
Stay there, because that's what Obama says. I've got to shut the web down to save it. They mean their globalist web. They always speak in, you know, triple meanings. And so you've got to know there are fail-safes built in to shut down things on the web when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. This is a cybersecurity takeover kill switch test.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I hope Max Kaiser's right. This is just a computer glitch at Google. But here's the Washington Post, a two-year report admitting Google is top of the heat, NSA. What did that CIA technology officer retired, Mr. Steele, what was his first name? We had him on a few times. He named NQTEL, he named MIT, and everything he said, 5 years ago, and then again 4 years ago, he came on twice. He said he got so much heat, he wasn't going to come on after that. He told us that on the phone. I think he got some threats, but he wouldn't say that. He just said, look, I can't. I like what you're doing, but it just, he got too heavy. He was the first person I ever said that, who said, look, they're not influenced by the CIA. And then I say, he said, Alex, they are. They are. They are. And he said, check out this doctor's name, that doctor's name. It was MIT, it was NSA, you know, these doctors of technology, these gurus. And they're literally taking over the whole planet with this. And people say, well, why are you on Google and YouTube? That's the war. That's the internet. We don't give up landscape here. We're going back to Kenneth Webb. Kaiser with us on the economy and your phone calls going into the next hour in overdrive. MaxKaiser.com is a great YouTube channel. Stunning information. MaxKaiser.com. Max, do you think my analysis is accurate, or do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a computer glitch. In other words, it's like you were at the playing 21 in Las Vegas, and you started to win too many hands. The eye in the sky picks it up, and then you get a visit from the pit boss. So there's no way you can beat the house. Now, your video started to impinge on Obama's team and their ability to control the propaganda wars and the info wars. So you're getting a visit from the equivalent of the pit boss in the virtual world. They need to remove you from the table because you're winning too many hands. And this computer picks that up. That's why I call it the casino gulag, because a lot of the technology used to keep people in line is the same as the casino. They know how to incentivize you to keep you gambling, but they know how to discipline you from winning too much. And they also keep you unemployed and low wages, so you're there in the gulag. So you, Alex Jones, were winning too many views with this video, and you got a visit from the virtual pit boss who had to shut you down because you're winning too many hands. It's a casino gulag.
And now we're pointing out that the house is fixed, so they're backing off because it's revealing who they really are.
Well, it's not necessarily fixed per se. It's that human being is easily manipulated. And they manipulate the humans. You see, the point of the starting a country like America to begin with was to try to tease out the greatest parts of humanity to create something that's better and bigger than the sum of its parts. But now that you've got bankers in control, they're breaking it down so it's less than the sum of its parts. And it's just a bunch of greedy people trying to win off of each other in a less than zero outcome.
And the bankers can set the rules, so they game everything, and they get the world out of fiat currency. They just make up out of nothing. As Thomas Jefferson said, they were facing it then. He said, if you let private banks issue currency and credit, your children will wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered.
It doesn't have to be rigged. It just has to be marginally successful, because and get the majority of people to give up their self-respect, and you end up with a casino gulag. And you've now had a direct interaction with the pit boss in the virtual world who's come over to you and said, sorry, you're winning too many hands, you're getting too many views, you're co-opting the word Obama, which needs to be associated only with the word hope. We cannot tolerate the word Obama to be associated with the word deception. That's intolerable, it cannot happen, and we'll do whatever it takes. We'll stick our computer algorithms on you, they'll do all the dirty work, and I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You have to leave the casino now.
I'm so glad we had Max Kaiser on today, because he just brought out, because he's an inventor of a major stock exchange system and very intelligent and understands this. And everything he's talked about in the last few years, it's just so crystal clear how right he was. And he brought out issues here today that I didn't see or understand. I'm just in here toe-to-toe going at him, and my listeners are, and we're kicking their butt. We're going to go into the fourth hour live. Stay with us. We'll be right back. For those that don't know, it was set up in England about 130 years ago in the U.S. and about the last 95. It started in a few eastern states. it's outside the Constitution. There's no due process. They say because they're protecting the kids. And so it's a judge. It's not a jury. And it's totally illegal. And now it's come out that they have quotas on taking kids, and it's all a big casino gulag, like Max talks about, meant to destroy families and get as much money as possible. I appreciate your call. Your take on the family courts, Max Kaiser.
It plays into the privatization of the prison system and companies like Corrections Corps of America, which is a publicly listed corporation on the New York Stock Exchange. The more prisoners they have, the more profits they make. Not only do they own the prisons, but they own the restaurants and the hotels near the prisons. So when you go to visit your family in prison, you stay at the hotel and you eat at the restaurant that is owned by the prison. And it's a hugely profitable business. And you put kids in prison, it's just more money for the private prison operators.
And I've noticed, I've done an analysis of the big three prison companies. They're all tied to big banks that Bloomberg admits are laundering the drug money. So the drug dealers own the prisons your kids are in.
Well, did you see that story about Wachovia, which is now owned by Wells Fargo? They were caught laundering $250 billion for drug cartels in Mexico.
They even own the aircraft.
Yeah, they don't deny it. They were just given a slap on the wrist. They paid a fine. Now, it's amazing that back in 2008, when the credit crisis was at its nadir, and Hank Paulson was in front of Congress begging for $700 billion to keep his buddies Goldman Sachs alive, the only cash available to roll over short-term paper on Wall Street was available from the drug cartel. And this is a documented fact. They're the only organization in the world that had actual cash. Everyone else was rolling virtual treasury nonsense.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that we're in deadly danger, folks. I mean, when I say the government and the big mega corporations are completely ruthless and criminal and want to bankrupt you so they can have an emergency reorganization and secure their ill-gotten gains, I mean it. I mean, none of us, whether you work for the FBI or you're a school teacher or a nuclear physicist or a TV host like Max Kaiser, 99% of us are on the short end of the stick in this. The New World, they got so many petty people they give little badges and security clearances to and these little power trips. Folks, you better choose sides now. We better decide to get rid of these people or it's over. I mean, I'm not kidding around here. Max, comments?
Yeah.
Any other?
Well, I think the demarcation between safety and money. You know, on Wall Street, we used to have what we called the FU money, which is the amount of money you needed to basically say FU to the system. And, you know, back in the 80s, I think if you had $10 or $20 million, you could comfortably say FU to the system. But today, that number is up at the 100 to 200 million range. Unless you've got 100 or 200 million to really seriously bribe the politicians you need to bribe to stay out of prison, you are vulnerable.
I've heard a lot of really rich people talk about FU money. People worth $2-3 billion that 3-4 years ago left, and they said there will be no America. And I guess that's the only positive thing is the top globalist and then their wealth, wealthy people who they're in the same family with but who disagree with each other. There's a lot of fights going on within these families. They realize they've destroyed things so badly. That was even the Financial Times last year, that it may destroy their own system. They've been so greedy, it's gotten out of control in this orgy of looting. And so the fact that they're leaving the country shows they know there's a good chance they're going to end up going to prison.
Well, that's the old adage, shear, don't slaughter. And a few greedy folks slaughtered the golden goose of the vulnerable and culpable and gullible American public.
That feeling, that feeling, the kind that don't wash away with sorrow, so sweet to me. The kind of feeling I need to get me through.
And that's right, folks, we're back. That was, again, Max Kaiser on the Alex Jones Show. That feeling, we are still feeling good here in Toronto. That is good news. They are trying to turn us into ignorance, evil parasites, into crabs in a bucket who tear each other down. And I'm noticing that there is some evidence of that. You know, there's tons and tons of propaganda about it out there. Fortunately, we appear to be rejecting it reasonably well. But they just step up their attacks. I mean, they're incrementalists. You know, they're not even worried about our generation. They want the next one. You know, they want to nail the next generation. They want to brainwash them into being the soldiers, the police, the bureaucrats, the snitches over us, whoever we are, whoever's listening right now, here on the 22nd of July, 2010 to this show. Whenever you're listening, if you're listening to the stream, if you're listening to it live, if you're listening to the MP3, you know, they're working on a timeline, a schedule. And as you heard Jones and Kaiser talk about, the Obama deception is being censored. There's a major Infowars.com push to push the Obama deception, because every time we push it, it gets hot. So I recommend you get out there and push it. You can grab a copy of the DVD online. You can grab a copy of the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. See conspiracyculture.com for more and for their contact info and for Patrick's great work, posting great articles every day that break down some of what's going on and some of how it's going down. And so you can buy DVDs, you can buy a burner, and you can burn some copies. You can drop them off places. And you can do a bunch of things. I remember a couple, 2-3 years ago, my roommate, my now roommate at the time, friend and I, we went around and we dropped off flyers to a bunch of businesses just for the business owners and the staff, just so they could get hip. And at this point in history with what's going on, you may want to say, and I've done this before too, I did this for Dr. Andrew Molden's election campaign in October of 2008 up in North Bay. We just said, hey, can we leave a little stack of these things here? They're about the size of business cards. And they're little flyers or whatever. And I've left flyers in places around Toronto. Put them up in Starbucks, little post-it note board. Put them in libraries. Put them in YMCAs. You know, put them in community centers. Put them at the churches at, Bloor and Spadina in the Annex. You know, and so there are ways that you can make sure that if people are curious about what's going on, And many people are today, based on the explosion in the Infowar and the growth of the alternative media, you know, the real alternative media, the anti-New World Order alternative media. People are interested because there are better answers. You know, there's a reason why, you know, so many people worldwide are into this stuff. And so the idea that we can't share it is ridiculous. And to prove that, I'm gonna take you to a few people who have been sharing it in another clip, yet another clip featuring Max Kaiser and Alex Jones from the same show. I'm gonna post this interview, folks, and I recommend you check it out because I was blown away by it. It's great. It's great when you know two guys are on and they're hitting it. And Jones even says at the end of this conversation with Max Kaiser, he's so glad he had him on today because he came up with so many insights that Jones never would have thought of. And Jones thinks all the time, much like myself, about these issues. And so, you know, when you get a couple of guys on their A games breaking down the world, it gives you the information you need and the tools you need to break it down for someone else and to make the changes in your own life, obviously. But there is a new age selfish meme out there. Think of yourself, work on your butt. Let me tell you something. If you ladies, if you see all them booty camp posters and the magazines and all these crazy things, you know, messing with your mind, and you work harder on raising your butt than you do on raising your kids, then, you're a butt. Or if you work harder on raising your ass and raising your kids, then you're an ass. Because ultimately, your kids are going to give you more happiness. You know, your butt will just help you survive. You know, some random stuff here and there, and it's, you know, it's a losing proposition anyway, and it's totally self-absorbed, and people are into that. And on the New World Order side of things, while it's great to get, you know, go to BerkeyWater.com or ColoBlue.com and or, you know, get some reverse osmosis water pills to get the fluoride out. It's great to avoid vaccines. It's great to avoid aspartame. It's great to eat healthy and eat organic, although the idea of having two classes of people in our culture, one that can afford, organic food and one that is forced to eat poison food because they don't have the money for organic food, is only going to screw all of us in the long run. It's great. And it's great to do all these things for yourself. But if that's all you do, then you've fallen into a trap, the new age self-absorbed, selfish trap, where that's the only way you can think about the New World Order is what you are going to do. You alone. against a giant fascist system. The fasci, the fasci is a bundle of sticks, for those of you out there who don't know. Fasci means a bundle of sticks tied together. And the reason that the fascists use this as their symbol is they know that a bundle of sticks tied together, you know, can break something. But an individual stick by itself can be broken. And so they try and turn us into individual sticks and atomized individuals who can be broken while they themselves stick together in a giant fascist New World Order plan, you know, like a fasci. And so we've got to figure out ways to create little fascis in our communities here, you know, wherever we are. You know, if you can rep it for the Chinese people, rep it. If you can rep it for, you know, the hip hoppers, rep it. If you can rep it for, you know, the Greeks, rep it. You know, if you can rep it for people in the annex, rep it. If you can rep it for people in Kensington, rep it. You know, get information out that can keep people from being impoverished, robbed, and murdered in that order. Because that's on the schedule between now and 2012 for many of us. On that note, you know, I remember 2007. I was handing out posters, I was dropping them off places, and I was in Little Korea in the annex, and I talked to a dude, and I was like, I said to him, "Hey man, you're Korean, right?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You know some Koreans, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You tell them. I'm done." I told the Korean dude in Little Korea, "I'm done. My responsibilities in Little Korea are over." And I didn't just tell one dude, because you can flake out that way. I told a bunch. So that's it. I'm good. We're good. You know, like, what am I supposed to do for your hood? And we can all take this attitude with each other to say, look, you know, I'm empowering you to empower someone else by giving them information that can help them make better choices and help someone else make better choices. And with respect to the two types of power, how much power you have over someone and how much power they have over you, it's a great way to feel your power by empowering someone else, whether it's in a Big Brother program style relationship with someone, mentoring, giving someone advice. You know, your opinion is valued, and that means you are valued. And if you're valued, you have power. And so we can do that with this information. That's why it's so important to recognize that and to get over any sort of barriers to us putting it out there. And the great news is that other human beings on planet Earth are doing this now. They're doing this very actively in the States. They're doing this very actively in Europe. And for all the descendants of people from other countries here, keep in mind that people in your countries know a hell of a lot more about what's going on than we do. And they know what the IMF does and how the IMF will step up and just crack down on countries. On that note, I got to flip to this clip or I won't have time for it. This is Europe kicking out Goldman Sachs. This is you know, and Max Kaiser recommended the Greeks do this, and the Greeks did it after what Goldman Sachs did to them. And the Icelanders are doing this stuff, and the Germans are doing this stuff. So what are the Canadians going to do? I guess we'll see.
The fact is, we came in Saturday night, we cut a video, wrote an article to counter it. Aaron and Rob stayed up till 7, 8 in the morning to get it completed, and we fought back immediately, and we're going to continue to fight back. This is a war.
Sure, but before, just one quick note. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Alex, remember that on Facebook, after the BP oil disaster, more than 800,000 people joined a boycott, and then Facebook decided to delete that boycott. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we just saw in your case. So this is enormous power given to these sites, and they are destroying the ability for people to express themselves politically. 800,000 people were going to join the BP boycott, and Facebook simply said, well, we just deleted it because it didn't think it was in the interest of our associates.
And meanwhile, the founder of Facebook calls his... I can't quote it, it's cuss words, calls his users dumb effers because they trust him, and he sits around giggling, calling them scum and filth.
Well, it's 500 million people now on Facebook. It's the basis for this casino gulag. So in other words, going forward, the people who joined the BP boycott would be awarded debit that they could only work off by virtual slave technique, by working off the credits by viewing on ads. And the people who didn't join the BP boycott would be awarded virtual credits.
Meanwhile, he's laughing at you. Facebook's literally part of the NSA, CIA, and he's just, look at these scum. I rule these stupid, pathetic filth because they trust me. Stop trusting them. Max Keiser, stay there, my friend. We'll come back. Stay with us. Had at least those callers with you today. Millions and millions, fraction of the money they stole. And now we see the Financial Reform Act, which gives the very same banks more power over the entire economy. This is amazing. Give us your take on that.
Well, I'll talk about the Financial Reform Act in a second, but this is an interesting headline. Europe freezes out Goldman Sachs, shocked by past deals with Italy and Greece. Governments are excluding Goldman Sachs now from their sovereign bond sales. So the European banks, especially in Greece and Italy, where Goldman cooked the books of these countries to allow them to enter the euro, and then subsequently, when they couldn't make the payments, they attacked them with naked short sales and other forms of financial terrorism to profit.
Y'all ready to settle down and get with this?
And we're back, folks. Sorry, didn't have time for the clip. Monsignor Watsoni is here, your jazz host. So going to be wrapping up the show in just a sec. Yeah, crazy stuff in the cover of the 24 today, our daily paper. There's a young lady, a 21-year-old girl, charged with, a bunch of G20-related incidents, alleged G20 organizer surrenders. Keep in mind out there, you know, what's being promoted heavily? Why is this on the cover? And is she, in fact, a role model, you know, to make other chicks act crazy? Because that happens. On thestar.com, homeowners see red over taxes. Slow-moving bureaucracy creates hefty retroactive property tax bills that must be paid. And there's a cute white couple here. She's very pregnant. He's quite handsome, and she's quite beautiful. Peter LeBlanc and his wife, Adrienne, stand in front of their Etobicoke home. They must pay a hefty property tax bill very quickly due to the slow-moving wheels of the bureaucracy. So they got to pay $2,500 because the bureaucracy decided to. And they are coming at us hard for taxes. This is the British Empire, and they are taxing us, and our representation isn't doing much about it. So keep that in mind. Obama joins UN effort to dictate acceptable behavior on the Internet. There are countries worldwide working through the United Nations to draft new codes of conduct on the Internet, what you can and cannot say, because they don't like what we're saying in the info war. So that's the key. Get the info out now. Get it out now while we are physically and mentally able to handle it and share it and pass it on, while we have the money to pay for the tools of the InfoWar, like blank DVDs or flyers or T-shirts or banners or whatever, and share stuff on the Internet. Share the Obama deception and Endgame, because Endgame will break down, why we're so threatened by so many health risks when we shouldn't be and when we don't have to be. If we expose all this crap, then we won't have to deal with it. If we don't, it's going to sneak up on us like it has been so far. A couple of websites to shout out before I go. Infowars.com, naturalnews.com, trendsresearch.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, vigilantcitizen.com, fluoridealert.org, vran.org. Locally, you can join the groups torontotruthseekers.com, you can join pressfortruth.ca, you can check out conspiracyculture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Rossville's. You can buy a paper on the street, just walking by, chill out at Starbucks. Get the Toronto Street News, and Victor Fletcher, after 12 years, entering into his 12th year in the game on the streets of Toronto, talking about this stuff. A 70-year-old guy going harder than most guys half his age on behalf of this country. You want to fight for this country? Fine. Fight the info war. It's the best thing to do right now, and it's already been proven to work. It's already been proven that you can do it and feel good, and you can make other people feel good while you're doing it. So it's over. There is nothing stopping anybody here in the country of Canada from doing something to make sure we have a country of Canada tomorrow, and one that we appreciate. That's enough for me, folks. Monsignor Watsoni, Bill Watson's up next with your four-hour jazz bungee experience. I leave you with some love from Ms. Jill Scott and encourage you to share a bit of love yourself today.
Thank you, and I know you were meant to be with me. part of my design.
One time.
You be the song, I'll be your pepper. Give you flavor forever. Leave you never. Don't you know, girl, that I'm down for whatever.
You be my lemon, I'll be your tea. Pure and naturally. You be my leaf, I'll be your tree. Your very definition of breeze.
Since you've been going my way, baby. Going to fly things, shining.